The great one's eating chocolate. Hang on. chocolate. It's good stuff, too. Great one is pissing off girls. I'm pretty sure she's never going to talk to me again. It doesn't really matter. There's 3.5 billion more of them out there. But fuck it. You can scream and shout with all your might. Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan, look for a fucking safe space. You can shove your opinions up your ass. That way the trumpet fierce cock has something to keep you company. Oh, keep your opinions company. Whatever it is. Yeah, if you're going to get divorced after December 31st, 2018, the trumpet fierce cock is sure as hell going to keep you company. When you're paying taxes on your alimony. Oh yeah, how's that swamp draining going for you, motherfucker? He's the trumpet fierce. He's gonna drain the swamp! Oh yeah! Oh yeah, we're draining that fucking swamp, you fucking losers. Oh, the Trumpet Fuhrer is gonna save us all! Oh, yes! Dumbasses. Yeah, even Roosh said in one of his videos that he watched. Roosh was talking, it was in the, wait, which one is it in? I think it was in the Four Lessons I Learned in 2017. It was one of the videos I watched just recently. He's like, yeah, I supported Donald Trump, and now Donald Trump is in there, and, well, how is this different than if Hillary Clinton was elected? And I'm like, yeah? I mean, things would be a little bit different if Hillary was elected, but not that much. Because your Trump and Fuhrer, he's not the Messiah. He's not the Savior. He's not draining the swamp. He's not building the wall. Okay, there's going to be no fucking wall. I've been saying this since day one. There is not going to be a fucking wall. It's not going to happen. All right. Great one. You still have anger? Yeah, a little bit, but it's calmed down. I don't even know why. Once again, I don't even know why the anger's gone away. It's just gone away. Great one. Are you going to talk more about technology? Yeah, well, actually, there is another episode in the technology rant series that's coming. I'm going to wrap it up, I think. I think there's going to be one more episode. I got a few more things to talk about and some follow-ups and stuff like that. But that's not happening today. Right now, what's still on my mind is, I know I've talked about this already, but the more I look at it and the more I think about it, because there are people out there who think that I'm the one who's broken, that because of my views on women, right, there's something wrong with me. Hang on a second. I should have done this before I started, but I just thought about this right now. Let me, and I have the email open, which I'm not supposed to have the email open when I'm doing the podcast, because we know I get fucking distracted, because I'm a dumbass. And I know I'm a dumbass because I have self-awareness. Let's see. Where are you tonight? Waiting for action. Yeah, red, no. Okay, there's that. And new to read. I have... I'll hold off on fan mail because I want to do stuff. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, here we go. And now you guys may remember I read an email. I got a fan mail from a gentleman in South Africa who said that his wife listens to my podcast after he introduced her to the podcast. And I did the thing about, what in the hell, were you trying to get a divorce? Because why would you tell your wife? Anyhow, And I'll read this to you guys sometime in the future, this whole email. But he written back. Jesus, God Almighty, it's a good thing I'm not podcasting. It's a good thing talking doesn't matter. It's a good thing language skills are unimportant for this. He written back. So he written back to me, and here go blah, blah, blah. And then he says that once she started listening to the reasons why you have your somewhat contentious viewpoints on women, she basically agreed to disagree about those points and move on. All right. Young lady. And of course, I don't know anything about these people, but I'm visualizing her as this, you know, like, South African, and we say South African, like evil colonist white person, South African, who came in, you know, and enslaved all the indigenous black peoples and made them pick cotton or whatever the evil white people in South Africa did. But of course, I am envisioning her as this young, beautiful, blonde South African fraulein that I would be in love with but can't have because she's married to somebody. Even though that wouldn't stop me, but since he's one of my fans, okay, I'll let that stop me, because, you know, if you listen to my podcast, I won't bang your wife, but otherwise, it's completely fucking up for grabs. Anyhow, this young woman, who is obviously intelligent, you know, I know this one woman, yeah, so do I, she's in South Africa, okay? This one woman, who has distinguished herself from the other 3.5 billion of them, once she started listening to the reasons why you have your somewhat contentious viewpoints on women. So see, my viewpoints on women are contentious. Are they now? Look, people, my viewpoints on women are not contentious. My viewpoints on women are based on observation and critical thinking. Now, hold on a second. I gotta just stay there a second. I know, I keep doing this to you. Just fucking hang on. In black. I'm back. Look, people, friends and enemies, men and women, boys and girls, pimps and pimpettes. It's only 5 o'clock and I'm already getting tired. My views on women are based on the stupid things that come out of their mouths and the stupid things they do. I got to go back to this one more time. I just can't let this slide. Cameron Esposito, or whatever the fuck her name is. So I looked her up on the interwebs. She's a lesbian comedian. Oh my God, she's a lesbian. She's so funny. Did you know she's a lesbian? Remember when people were just comedians? You were either a comedian or you were not a comedian. Now, you have to be, you're a lesbian comedian. And her jokes focus on GLBTKKK. Let's read this quote again, and let's attempt to understand why I have the opinions on women that I have that we're going to agree to disagree on. Because, of course, my opinion that women are objects, not agents, that women are not equal, that women shouldn't be allowed to vote, they couldn't possibly have anything to do with reality. No, no, no. This is just me. It's like I sat down in my mom's basement and I was playing Call of Duty and I was jacking off to fucking Teletubby porn and I just made this up out of nowhere. This could have nothing to do with reality. My opinions, otherwise known as accurate observations of female behavior can't possibly have anything to do with female behavior, can they? No, of course not. It's just like when you get a sexually transmitted disease, it can't possibly have anything to do with having sex, can it? No, of course not. It's because of Donald Trump and the Russians. The Russians hacked your vagina and put the gonorrhea in there. You didn't get gonorrhea because you had sex with some fucking ex-con alpha male rapist who's had sex with 27 other women that week, three of which had venereal diseases. No, that had nothing to do with it, right, honey? No, the reason your fucking vagina has become infected with gonorrhea is because of Donald Trump and the Russians. It has nothing to do with your behavior. Because you can't be held accountable for your behavior. You have a vagina. The quote. If you. So me. She's talking to me. The great one. Okay. If you, the great one himself, the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society, who has been podcasting for 13 years, who is right, who is always right, who has always been right, who will always be right, who has never been wrong except for the one time when he said Donald Trump would lose the election and Hillary would win, but he was still actually right because Hillary got more votes in the popular vote because there are more parasites than producers. If you, the great one himself, don't want to pay for health care for people that live in poverty, then you, the great one himself, the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society, podcasting for 13 years, should help women who live in poverty to not have children that they are not able to provide for. So according to Cameron Espicunso, my options, see, this is called a false choice. You can either suck my dick or lick my ass. What if I choose neither? This is something you set up in, this is called the false choice. You set this up when you're trying to sell something to people or manipulate people. You know, you can either vote for Donald Trump and be a racist, or you could be enlightened and vote for Hillary Clinton. Or what if I don't vote? Or what if I vote third party? Or what if one of the political parties, the Republicans or the Democrats, run somebody who's not a piece of shit for the presidency? See, that's a false choice. So I can either pay for health care for people that live in poverty. My choices are I can have money taken away from me by the government by force to pay for the health care of these poor people, or I can help women who are poor to not have children. Now, here's the problem with this. I have to hear all this shit about how women are strong and independent, how women are equal, how women can do anything a man can do. And yet, there's these poor women who are not able to avoid getting pregnant without my help. It's their body and it's their choice. And there's all these liberal organizations that are out there helping the poor people. They get their welfare. They get their food stamps. And even with the welfare and the food stamps and all the organizations that help the poor people and the fucking education system and the interwebs and the fucking welfare system and the fucking social worker system, these poor women, they still cannot avoid getting pregnant unless I help them to not get pregnant. Now, these very same women, these very same poor, poverty-stricken women who are unable to avoid getting pregnant without my help, these very same women are intelligent enough to examine the foreign policies and the fiscal policies of Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton and then make an informed decision about which one of them should be president. These very same women who are incapable of not getting pregnant unless I, the great one himself, the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society, who has been podcasting for 13 years, men are afraid of commitment. Unless I help you not get pregnant, these women cannot avoid getting pregnant. They're just walking down the street and the wind blows and they trip and they stop. Bam! They're pregnant. They just can't help it. It just happens to them. They're just pregnant. Unless I, the Great One, help them not be pregnant. And the idea that these fucking stupid cunts should be allowed to vote, have jobs, or own property, or sign contracts is nonsensical. They are children. They are less than children. They're barely even animals. They are animals in the biological sense that they have cellular activity. But mentally, if you are incapable of not getting pregnant unless I help you not get pregnant, you are not equal to me. I'm not the one who said this. I did not say this quote. And this is what you women who hear this and think that my views on women are somehow fucked up, this is what you need to understand. I'm not the stupid bitch who said this. The Cameron fucking Espinconto is the stupid bitch who said that I have to help women who live in poverty to not have children. Once again, it's the great... There's a word. I'm looking for it. I can't find it because I'm staring at the ceiling and going, where is that word? The left wing thinks women are equal and treats them like they're fucking retarded children, which they are. And this is the baffling thing, is that I view women as retarded children, and yet I'm willing to treat them equally. If you don't want to get pregnant, I can't help you with that. If you get a venereal disease, that's not my fault. And then the other part of this false choice is that somehow, okay, if I'm not willing to help these poor women not get pregnant, and I'm not really sure how exactly I'm supposed to help these poor women not get pregnant, maybe Cameron Cuntspo could explain that to me. How do I help? I would love to go in and sterilize them. I mean, the government of the United States did that in the past, sterilizing people. I would absolutely love to go in and sterilize all the poor people. If you're fucking snip their goddamn... What do you call it? God damn it, there's a word for it. You snip the tube to their ball sack if they're a man. And if it's a woman, you tie their tubes. I would absolutely love for the government to say, okay, if you make less than $60,000 a year, we're going to sterilize you. Once again, there's a government program I'll pay for. Yes, I'm an anarchist. Yes, I should think there should be no fucking government. But there is a government. It's a reality of the world we live in. It's just like, I will pay. But anytime a woman who is not married gets pregnant, she should be forced by law to get an abortion. I will pay for that. I will pay a tax just for that. That I will pay for. Sterilizing poor people and forcing women who are unmarried to get abortions. Those are two government programs I will fucking pay for. Because you women clearly can't fucking take care of yourselves. You can't make your own choices. You can't avoid getting pregnant. You can't avoid getting fucking venereal diseases, as we talked about in the previous two podcasts. You have no fucking clue what's happening around you. You're not an agent. You're an object. You're just blowing on the wind. You just wake up in the morning and magically get pregnant. And since the Great One wasn't there to prevent you from getting pregnant, now I'm obligated to pay for your health care. See, this is the false choice. If you don't want to pay for their health care for people in poverty, then you have to help women not get pregnant. So this fucking stupid poor woman got pregnant. Now I'm just magically obligated to pay for the health care of the fucking illegitimate little bastard child that she's spitting out. How does that happen? Oh, it happens because you're a fucking parasite. And you can fucking come to me all you want with your bullshit about how women are equal. No, you're not. You're not. And you know why you're not? Because Carmen Cunspinoza tells me you're not. Carmen Cunspinoza told me that I have to either help you not get pregnant because you're not smart enough to not get pregnant on your own, or I have to pay for the health care of your fucking bastard child. Because you can't pay for your own fucking health care and the health care of your bastard child. You're not my fucking equal. Shut up. Shut the fuck up. And do what you do best. Spread your goddamn legs and get knocked up. Okay, speaking of cunts, let's move forward. Great One, I thought you weren't angry. I'm not. I'm tired of this shit. I'm fucking tired of women pretending to be equal to me. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to put up with this. Honest to God, do not know how much longer I will be able to put up with this. We talked some odd episodes ago. I played the video with Sally Crawcunt and how she talked about how the housing bubble and all this other stuff was created by men because men have testosterone. And you know who doesn't have testosterone? Women! Women! Women don't have to... All right. Elle Magazine, The Financial Feminist. This month on Elle.com, Elvest CEO Sally Krawcheck, once dubbed the most powerful woman on Wall Street. Well, when you're the only woman on Wall Street, yeah, because nobody... Anyway... has weathered two job terminations, a divorce, and workplace harassment. So she's been fired twice, and her husband divorced her. She's a fucking winner. Oh, I didn't even read this part. Yeah. Oh, God damn it. Oh, two job terminations, a divorce, and workplace harassment. Which, again, what does that mean? I mean, in this day and age, so what? Someone looked at her? Someone talked to her? Somebody, where did I read this? Was it Adam Piggott? God, who have I read lately? I can't remember. It was somebody on the blogs that I read. Somebody made the point that despite all of this Me Too-ism, right, and all of these women whining about how they harassed by all these men and raped and everything else, the person wrote that to his knowledge, none of these men have actually been had charges filed against them or arrested or anything like that. And I think I say, you know, that's a good point. If you're actually doing something that's actually wrong, I mean, it's not like we don't have enough laws in the United States, right? If they had done something actually wrong, they would get arrested. And we could delve into that with all these women. It's 20 years ago. I got raped. Really, it took you 20 years to figure that out? Once again, you're not equal to me. If it takes you 20 years to figure out that you were raped and say something about it? I mean, if somebody like came in my house and stole something, or if somebody raped me, or if somebody killed my mother, I would be like, 20 years later, I'd be like, oh my God, somebody killed my mother. Now, you notice these things at the time they're happening, at least if you have self-awareness and consciousness and intelligence and an IQ over 12. But when it takes you 20 years to figure out you've been raped, no, you're not equal to me. You're not. And you're never going to be. All while navigating the high-stress, male-dominated world of finance. Now she's changing the financial game for women. Ooh. Oh, God. Oh, God, I didn't read this part either. Okay. Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, this is going to be good. Quote, I never thought women needed a different investing environment than men did. I thought the idea was patronizing and sexist, unquote, says Sally Krawczyk, God damn it, chair of the Elevate Network and co-founder of Elvest, career and investing platforms that are indeed geared towards women. Okay, if men and women are the same, why indeed would women need a different investing environment than men? So you see, Sally, by admitting that women need a different environment in which to function than men, you are admitting that women and men are different than each other. You're not equal. You're different. Because, as Crawcunt began to do a little digging, she was hit with startling disparities. While we're all aware of the gender pay gap, about 80 cents on the dollar at last count, the gender pay gap, of course, as you know, if you list does not exist. Once again, this is why, no, girls, young lady in South Africa, this is why women are not equal to me. We all know there's no fucking pay gap. There's no pay gap. Yet most women continue to pretend that there is. Okay, when I look at women around me and they are very deliberately ignoring reality, I cannot treat them as my equal. Do you understand this? I am not making these disparaging comments about women because I hate them. Okay, I am looking at reality. Women are pretending things are true which are not true. You women can change my opinion of women anytime you want. All you have to do is remove head from ass. All you have to do is fucking make some contact with reality. All you have to do is stop talking about how the patriarchy is oppressing you and you make fucking 80 cents for every dollar a man makes, and when a man looks at you, you've been raped. That's all. All you have to do is cut the shit. All you have to do is admit that you don't need my help to not get pregnant. That not getting pregnant is something you personally are responsible for. Over the course of a career, the lesser-known gender investing gap can cost women thousands, even millions of dollars. Women retire, on average, with two-thirds of the money that men do. This, Crawcunt says, quote, tells me something is not working for women, unquote. Okay, why do women retire with less money than men? Well, and this is really fascinating, considering that how much money men spend on women. Maybe it's because women spend too much fucking money. Shockingly enough, I have female friends and I've dated girls. The amount of money that most of them spend on bullshit, that could be one reason why you have less money. Furthermore, there's this investing gap, okay? Invest your fucking money. It's not that hard. Why is it so hard to invest your money? Have you heard of the internet? where you could educate yourself. Hey, maybe you could go and take Aaron Clary's online classes where you learn about investing and how to read stock portfolios and shit like that. Oh no, we can't do that because, well, Aaron Clary, why, he has a penis and testosterone and he's sexist. We can't take his online class and learn anything about investing and then maybe invest our money and make some money because patriarchy and Russia. Quote, it was seared into my brain, which must have been difficult considering how small your brain is, at an early age that money equals freedom equals power, unquote, Crawcunt says. When she was growing up in Charleston, South Carolina, the only fights she remembers her parents having were about money. She dreamed of becoming an independent career woman a la Mary Tyler Moore. Okay, Sally, honey, television isn't real. Mary Tyler Moore is a character on TV. See, this is why women are not equal to me. I like watching Star Trek, but I don't think Star Trek is real. After graduating in 1987 with a BA in journalism, from the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, Crawcunt entered into what she calls the wild wasteland of her 20s. Your 20s were a wasteland, really. Is that also my fault? Did I have some obligation to prevent your 20s from being a wasteland? Just like I have an obligation to prevent poor people from getting pregnant? Do I have a fucking... Was this my fault also, or was it the Russians? She got married and started working as a banker, thinking she'd become a business journalist. But, quote, it was very macho, very male, very competitive, unquote, she says. Not to mention very inappropriate. She arrived at work each day. Okay, now each day. Now, when someone says she arrived at work each day, this implies, does it not, that every day she worked at this bank, this happened. To find, quote, Xeroxed copies of men's nether regions on my desk, unquote. Okay, we talked about this in the previous episode. This is right up there with this fucking femistatist fantasy where men send these women pictures of their dicks. Sally, sweetie, honey, little fucking femistatist cunt. Do you really expect me to believe that every single day that you went to work at this bank, there is a photocopy of a man's ass on your desk? Do you really expect me to believe? Now, am I saying that? No, I mean, they could have photocopied their ass and put it on your desk a couple of times. But the idea that these men have nothing to do other than photocopy their ass and put it on your desk. Every fucking day, 5 days a week, 52 weeks a year. And secondly, if they're doing, see, here's what she leaves out. Why were they doing this? Is it just because you're a woman? Okay, so did they do this to every woman at the bank? Or was it just you? Now, if they did this to every woman who worked at the bank, you might be able to convince me they were doing this because you're all women. But if they were only doing it to you, once again, we can't have any personal responsibility because we're objects, not agents. Right, Sally? If they were putting photocopies of their asses on your desk and only your desk, could it be not because you're a woman? Could it possibly have been because you were a dumb cunt? Maybe you were an affirmative action hire. Maybe you were incompetent. Maybe you were fucking your boss and they all knew it. Maybe you were fucking your boss's boss, and they all knew it. Desperate to get out. Yes, because, you know, there were people preventing you from quitting this job. There, every time you would try to quit the job, you couldn't quit the job because the patriarchy was oppressing you and forcing you to keep working there. I mean, after all, you have a journalism degree. You could get a job anywhere, right? If your journalism degree is worth so much, why couldn't you get another job? Why would you be so desperate to get out? Why did you have to endure having these photocopies of men's asses on your desk 52 weeks a year, 5 days a week? Why didn't you get another job? You have a degree in journalism. You could do anything. You go, girl! Desperate to get out. She quit to pursue an MBA from Columbia Business School, landing a finance job at Disney in Los Angeles following her graduation. She declined the offer. Her spouse's job kept him in New York. Who would marry this woman? Quote, then I found out my husband was having an affair, so we got divorced anyway. Unquote. Okay, never mind. Well, if I married her, I'd be having an affair also. In a whirlwind, she resumed working as a banker, married her current husband, bank executive Gary Appel, and had a baby. It was during her maternity leave that she finally answered a question she'd been mulling over for years. What career truly fit her interest? Well, probably whining. Say, great one. Whining is not a career. Yeah, oh, yes, it is. Have you seen the Social Justice Warriors? She hated banking boys' club mentality, but loved examining financial models and writing. She realized she was ripe for a career as a financial analyst. Learn to fucking read, dumbass. Quote, giving yourself a break and allowing your subconscious to go to work is a key to substantial. I can almost read. Whew. Quote, giving yourself a break and allowing your subconscious to go to work is a key to substantial insight. Unquote, she says. I mean, actually don't disagree with that. I mean, once again, even a broken clock is right twice a day. Fresh off her maternity leave, Crockhunt got a job at equity analyst. God damn it. Got a job as an equity analyst at Stanford C. Bernstein covering Wall Street. Quote, I was successful really quickly in the job because I had given it that deep consideration, she says. Less than a decade later, she was named CEO of Citigroup's Smith Barney unit. Over the years, she added even more impressive titles to her CV, including CFO and president, respectively, of Citigroup's and Bank of America's wealth management divisions. But with high highs came low lows. Crockhunt continuously experienced sexual harassment at work. Really, she continuously. Okay, once again, so if you leave one job and you go to another and the people there treat you like shit, at what point do you start to think, maybe it's me? If every job you go to, people are insulting you, denigrating you. I don't know. We'll find out if she tells us what this sexual harassment is. You know, leaving photocopies of their ass on your desk. At what point do you start to wonder if you're contributing? But wait, you're a woman. It's not your fault you got a venereal disease. Well, it's not your fault you got pregnant. Right? It's none of this has anything to do with you. Once again, young lady in South Africa who listens to my podcast, this is why I have the opinion of women that I do. Everywhere I go, I get sexually harassed. Really? First of all, define sexual harassment. Second of all, do you think there's any possibility at all that you might be contributing to this? Or do you? No! No, of course not! Because vagina. Okay, here we go. Earlier in her career, when she'd been promoted to director of research at Bernstein, Crockhunt hosted an event at which, quote, a gentleman whose name you would recognize, unquote, gave a speech. I would not recognize his name because I'm not a fucking loser. Afterward, she says, quote, he invited me in the middle of the afternoon to join him in his hotel room. Oh my God. A man wanted to fuck a woman in the middle of the afternoon. I'm stunned by how sick this is. Wanting to put your dick in a woman in the middle of the afternoon. Now, if anything, wanting to put your dick into Sally Crockhunt, that is a fucking indicator of sickness. But wait, there's more. And then he stuck his tongue out and jangled it. This is sexual harassment. So to say to a woman, hey, would you like to go up to my hotel room and fuck? Okay, that's called honesty. I like a man who's honest. I really value honesty in a man. Okay, so then a man comes up and says, hey, I'm here, you're here, I got a hotel room. It's fucking 12:35. You want to go up to my room and fuck? That's honesty. I thought you women liked honesty. And then he stuck his tongue out and jangled it. Oh my God. There are parts of the planet Earth where women are being stoned to death because they're not virgins. There are places where women are having their clitorises cut off. There are women who are dead because they were blown up by a missile launched from a flying robot. But Sally Crockhunt, her fucking biggest problem in life is that a man stuck his tongue out and jangled it in her direction. And this is why women are not equal to me. This is why white women from North America are the most spoiled, pampered animals that have ever lived on the planet Earth. And this is why when one of them gets raped or divorced or cheated on, I don't care. I do not care. I don't care. And I looked at him like, did you, famous man who I always see on the evening news, invite me to your room, stick your tongue out, and jangle it at me? Unquote. Well, yes, he did. Yeah, he did. Just because a man is on the news doesn't mean he doesn't fuck. Once again, women are, you know, the feminist status are all about sexuality and sexual freedom and body, but then when a man wants to fuck them, like, oh my God, I've been raped. No, he's just giving you the opportunity to fuck. And if this is so terrible, why did you not call the police? Why have you waited 20 years? Man says, do you want to go up and fuck? Oh my God, I've been fucking sexually harassed. This is not sexual harassment. Asking a woman, do you want to fuck, is not sexual harassment. It's called being direct. You say, would you like to go fuck? You say no. Or do you need me to do that for you also? Just like I have to prevent poor women from getting pregnant because they're too stupid to do it on their own, but they can still vote. Crock Hunt also lost her very public jobs twice. First at Citigroup. Fortune had called her, quote, the last honest analyst. Bullshit. Years earlier. In 2018, when Crock Hunt pushed Citi to reimburse clients for failed investments, her morals cost her the job. Oh yes, it was your morals. They fired you because you were so moral. Now, what does this mean? Pushed Citi to reimburse clients for failed investments. Who failed on the investment? Did the client make the investment? Then no, you should not reimburse them for that. Did Citibank make the investment without the client's permission and lose the money? Yeah, Citibank should probably pay that back. Just, I say that having no idea exactly what the details of this are. And then at Bank of America, which I think my tax money bailed them out, Bank of America during a 2011 restructuring. Quote, it's embarrassing and humiliating, she says. It unmoors you. Yeah, well, you're not so embarrassed and humiliated that you're not running around fucking plastering yourself all over the internet. Excuse me. Nevertheless, Crock Hunt took her business acumen, all 3 seconds of it, and fierce desire to level the playing field. Okay, playing fields are not level. Playing fields are raked so that when it rains on them, the water runs off. Playing fields are not level, you dumb bitch. That's why you make 80 cents for every dollar a man makes. Not because you're a woman, it's because you're dumb. Plus, it must be noted, her $6 million severance package from Bank of America, oh my God, the tragedy of her, she only got a $6 million severance package. Oh, how fucking oppressed is this bitch? And acquire, what? Nevertheless, Crock Hunt took her business acumen and fierce desire to level the playing field, plus it must be noted, her $6 million severance package from Bank of America, and acquired the networking company 85 Broads? Broads? Unlimited, which she rebranded as the Elevate Network. She also launched Elvest, an automated investing platform geared towards the financial habits of women who tend to be goal-oriented and risk-averse. Quote, money that's sitting in cash is losing ground for you every single day, unquote, Crock Hunt cautions, which isn't to say one should invest everything. Crock Hunt recommends building an emergency fund of 2 or 3 months worth of take-home pay to keep in the bank. Besides just thinking about money, Crock Hunt wants women to start talking about it, because of course we know that women never talk about money. No, of course not. Last year, she wrote, Own It, The Power of Women at Work, to bring coffee to men who actually do the real work. That's not, that should be the title of the book. In hopes of encouraging such conversations. Quote, how are you supposed to know if your friends are investing if you're not supposed to talk about it? Networking is not a bad word for the guys, but it's tacky for women. This is how our patriarchal society keeps us from reaching our full potential. Unquote. Yes, you see, the patriarchy is preventing women from talking to other women about whether or not they invest their money or spend it all on shoes. Once again, you're an object. you're not an agent. Women cannot talk to other women about financial investing because the patriarchy is preventing them from doing it. Money has remained a dark taboo for too long. This month on Elle.com, let Crock Hunt lead you into the light. Okay, so Crock Hunt, you can go over here and Crock Hunt's on the interweb. So on January the 1st, this week, Crock Hunt sets out guidelines for the most important financial milestones. From knocking out student debt to opening a 401k with research-backed tips and how to hit them. Because you couldn't figure out how to do those things from using Google. Or maybe, I don't know, you want to know how to reduce your student debt and set up a 401k. Maybe assholeconsulting.com. Investing 101, January the 8th. Is it better to invest in stocks or bonds? How should you diversify your investment portfolio? Whether you're looking to investing for the first time or just hoping to glean new insights, Crock Hunt has answers for you. Or you could take Aaron Clary's classes on stocks and bonds investing and how to read financial statements. But no! Oh no, see, Aaron Clary has a penis. He has testosterone. See, he would just oppress you and keep you from investing your money. Because Aaron Clary is like me. He hates all women because he's a member of the patriarchy. In fact, right now, we're texting each other and talking about which woman we're going to oppress next. On January the 15th, if you've been waiting to make a career leap, wait no more. Crock Hunt will help you navigate a job pivot with ease. And you won't even need a maternity leave to do it. So once again, you can't get another job without permission from Crock Hunt. I mean, you need help to get, what's a job pivot? Is that like quitting and getting another job? You know, men can do a job pivot without help from some woman on the internet. And January 22nd, here we go. Negotiating pay raises and new job salaries is essential. And that voice in your ear is telling you that if you ask, they'll get rid of you. Ignore it. Quote, I've never, ever, ever seen anybody negotiate a new job just to have the hiring manager say, oh my God, you asked for something. Never mind. Again, if you can't get a raise on your own, why do men have to help you do everything? Oh yeah, because you're equal. You can't do anything on your own, but you're equal. Shut up. Get your ass in the kitchen and make me a fucking pie.